Elsa.
You're listening to the Hunter Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Wire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo, good morning.
Oh, we're leaving that in.
You had crushed the whole intro, and then I, like, had a verbal diarrhea. Yeah.
That's all good, man. Hey, man. Okay, look, we've got some good stuff going on, right?
Yeah,
now. We got some good stuff. We're in Las Vegas. We're enjoying the, you know, when you look at a big pile of dirt, some people might not see the beauty, but I think for us, seeing like
those piles of dirt, which are the mountains outside of Las Vegas, are gorgeous.
They really are.
Yeah.
Like you forget, you just don't think about them as kind of this majestic thing that they actually are. And it's such a beautiful view. And of course, it is right dab in the middle of all of this majesty is, the Las Vegas Strip.
Glittering Las Vegas. That's right. What's the name of the, man, this is embarrassing. I should remember more about Star Wars, but, what's the name of the planet Luke Skywalker?
Oh, Tatooine. Yeah.
Tatooine. Yeah. It kind of has that feel, you know?
Yes, like, very much so.
Yeah. Some Jawas with their little, spears.
The Jawas didn't have the spears. The Tuscans had the
spears. Oh, the Tuscans had the spear. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know those Italians.
Yeah, those Italians. Anyway, all right, man. So we got a great show planned for today, but first we got to give a shout out to those that are making it happen. Of course, I'm talking about our club members and patrons. Man, joining at the Squire level, we've got Brett Nichols. Now, I can't really mispronounce this name. I always say that, and then I come up with a really great one, which is Brett. It's Brett.
Brett Nichols. Thank you so much for joining at the Squire level, man, and helping us keep the lights on. And man, it's wonderful. We're very, really, really, really grateful for you.
See, once again, I feel like there's a little bit of a challenge here with this one, because whilst I do try to, like, you know, mispronounce, you know, our club members' names, for the patrons, I just read right through. For example, we've got Amadan Gubadi.
Amadan Gubadia.
All right. For our patrons, we've got Amadan Gubadia. And then we've also got a mixture of letters that I refuse to believe is somebody's name.
I don't know, man. They could have been baptized that. The letters are MNETHTBRD.
Thank you so much
Meneth
for your support.
Meneth to Bird. And Meneth to Bird and Amadin. And of course, Brett, we're so grateful for all of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And hey, if you want to support the show, we will do our best to say your name or butcher it
Butchered. It doesn't take a lot of effort to butcher them, because we are just that ignorant.
Yeah, that's right. That is exactly right. Patreon.com/CountrySquire Radio. Now, man, you know, we have historically and quite famously been a pipe podcast.
As we should be. That's right.
And continue to be. And even throughout this, this season, or the season of life, I should say, this last past year, we've been, you know, trying to incorporate the feel of a pipe shop, having the conversations and kind of, you know, being a little bit more thoughtful and just really kind of engaging over the kind of things you want to talk about while you're enjoying a pipe. On occasion, we do a little work with areas that are on, how do I say this?
They're cousins.
Well, so that's what I was trying to build up to, right? Like, so there's areas, you know, that we try to cover all various areas of pipedom, and that's our wheelhouse, and that's been our wheelhouse. But the reality is that you, John David Cole, master of pipes, owner and tobacconist of the Country Squire, famed and celebrated pipe smoking Jesus by some.
I hate that.
The fact of the matter is, you are not just a pipe guy. You are also a cigar guy.
Sure,
and
by trade.
As the Country Squire has grown, as you have referenced on the show, your cigar business has grown right along with it.
Yeah.
And we have always seen the cigar kind of contingency as kind of the cousins of the pipe contingency, right? We're on the same team, premium tobacco products.
That's right.
Like, you know, there's always kind of a debate. We're like, well, where do cigarettes fall in that?
They're related. You stay in the corner. Yeah.
But like cigars, man, cigars in the kind of the premium tobacco world, we're cousins,
yeah,
right?
No, that's right.
And as such is the case, we thought it'd be kind of interesting to mix it up a little bit this week. Instead of doing a pipe smoking 101, we're going to do a cigar smoking 101.
Yeah, yeah, this is great.
So if you're new to cigars, or if, you know, you're, you know, kind of have been dabbling in that, understand this. Yes, we are a pipe show. We are a pipe podcast. But John David Cold, tobacconist, famed master of pipes, is not just a pipe guy. He is very much a celebrated cigar guy. And the Country Squire has a vast humidor and thus vast knowledge base behind it.
Well, yeah, we are proud of our humidor. I don't, you know, pretend to have near the cigar expertise that I would like to think I do in the pipe world. But yeah, I mean, we have talked about cigars before. You know, we had a Finer Things episode where we kind of discussed premium yes. cigars. And so this isn't necessarily one of those Finer Things episodes, but it's an opportunity to tackle something that's very tangential to pipes. And frankly, a lot of our pipe smoking listeners are also cigar smokers, and they might lean to the pipe more prevalently, but they go into you know, the cigars occasionally. We've got some listeners who are very dedicated listeners that are more cigar people.
That's right.
Yeah. But they listen to it because they love us. They love our shop. They occasionally smoke a pipe and find it interesting. And so those folks are out there too. But yeah, today, Cigar 101, we're going to talk about prepping and maintaining a humidor.
So this is a topic
which
I've been
not easy.
Well, I've wanted to talk to you about this for a long time, because a long time ago, goodness gracious, I mean, maybe before we even started the podcast,
yeah,
I bought on Amazon a cheap, very cheap,
yeah,
humidor. Like, the screws were loose and everything else. I tried to tighten it, it's all right. messed up, it's been jacked up.
It's like the IKEA version of
exactly. humidor. Didn't know what I was getting, didn't know really what to do with it. Got the little, like, you know, black circular thing
that
comes with.
Thing you're supposed to put some kind of fluid in to
right.
help it, you know, stay humid, supposedly.
And, you know, it had like a dial. It wasn't a digital dial. It was like a humidity meter or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got all this, and I kind of like plopped it in and did the whole thing. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, I have no idea if this is working or if it's not working. And very quickly, I kind of came to realize it's not working. And on top of that, it wasn't really well built. So like air was getting in and everything else,
sure,
and it was all jacked up. So for the longest time, this has been a box that I have kept like old postcards in. You know what I mean? Like, it has not been used for theoretically what its intended purpose
was. Its supposed purpose, right.
So recently, having been gifted by you and others, but especially by you, a lot of cigars. At one point, you sent me a box of like defective cigars.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, these are defective, but they still smoke really well, so I'm giving you all of them.
It's cigars like I don't feel good about selling, but like they're gonna smoke great, so here, take them. So
you got me like all these cigars, and then like I've got these other cigars that I've kind of collected over the years.
Sure,
some that have like, and what I've been doing is I felt really bad, but I was keeping them in a plastic bag that I was trying to keep airtight and keep those little
Bovita packs.
Yeah, the Bovita packs. Mm-hmm. In.
Yep.
And I was like, you know, I want a decent humidor.
Sure.
That I can feel good about having these in, displaying it in my office.
Yeah.
And know not just that these cigars are protected, but in some cases, they're kind of going through the revival process.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're trying to care for them and bring them back as they need it. Yeah. As you should.
And some of those cigars in particular, like there's one in particular I'm thinking about that I've had for 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's still good. And like, you know, I've done my best to like try to keep it up, and I've been saving it for like a special occasion.
Sure.
You're looking at me like that was the dumbest thing I could possibly do. I should just smoke that stick as soon as I got it.
No, okay. No, not at all. Yeah. People do that for years. Yeah.
Well, so that's the thing. Like, and it's because it was a special occasion. It was gifted to me. I was producing a show, a live conference in Chicago, like in 2019.
Yeah.
And
I remember that.
Yeah. The producer that was going to be producing the show didn't show up that day, and I had to produce the entire show like on the fly.
Right.
And it was crazy stressful. And at the end of the day, a buddy of mine who was working on the show as well, he said, hey, he's really sorry. He gave us all these cigars. And I was like, you know what? I'm saving this.
That's special.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I'm saving
special.
This. And then, you know, the pandemic happened and everything else. And it's just been sitting there, and I've wanted to enjoy that. And I feel like I've got the opportunity coming up, but I want to make sure it's good.
How do I store these cigars and take care of them?
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
And how do I make sure that I set up the humidor correctly to do it? You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you probably, if you've gotten into cigars, have experienced something very similar to what Bo just described, because you start collecting these cigars, but then realize, oh, wait, like, these need to be kept in a certain kind of environment, and then you scramble to figure it out. People make the mistake of, they think for some reason putting them in their refrigerator is helpful, or, you know, like the old men used with coffee grounds and
are
stuff like
serious?
That.
Are you serious? People put their cigars in a refrigerator?
Yeah, don't do that.
Okay.
There actually are some very specific instances where you may want to do that, but not
what?
It's to help with things that we're not going to really.
Okay,
talk
all
about
right, all right.
Yeah, and you know, anyway, just don't put your cigars in a refrigerator. But you know, folks they collect these cigars and they start to scramble to figure out how do I take care of them, and you get folks that wrap them in moist towelettes and all these kind of things. And so it just can be cumbersome until you find the right resources to help you figure it out. And of course, the cigars need to be kept in a humid environment. We kind of seek the 70% humidity. The rule is 70-70. That's the rule. And
yeah.
So the gauge you were referencing earlier, the hydrometer, you know, that's how we kind of determine if your humidor is what level it's at, if we need to tweak the humidity inside of it. But the temperature is also important as well. We'll talk about that. But, you know, we're spoiled as pipe people because pipe tobacco, it's so easy.
You just throw it in a mason jar, you're fine.
It's just easy.
Yeah.
You just don't have to worry about it, you know? And if you buy a tin of tobacco, it's just sealed, you know? So you don't have to worry about it. You do need to worry about temperature with pipe tobacco. People mess that up. They'll well, keep it in their attic or they'll, yeah. you know, they'll put it, they'll keep it outside or, you know, in a room that isn't climate control. You do need to worry about temperature. But,
our work comes yeah. in the actual smoking of the tobacco, which
right.
requires a lot, you know, a lot more than just like puffing
more.
On a stick.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's
right.
That's where our work is. But for the cigar smoker, yeah. it seems like the work is all before that.
A lot of work into maintaining the actual cigars. So, I wish caring for a humidor was a science, and it's not. It is not. Setting up a humidor is not a science. And so I'm in my very clumsy, ham-fisted way going to try to walk you through the art of picking and then keeping up, maintaining the right humidor. So the first thing is picking the right humidor to begin with. And a lot of people, of course, you bought something that sounds like it, you know, should have been on the, you know, clearance rack at the Piggly Wiggly, but
it shouldn't even been there. It should have just been bashed in
it's
and
got
used
like,
firewood.
Yeah, yeah, it's got your, golf or your golf cart, your baseball cards in it
right,
or something.
Right.
But
I think at one point there were some Pokemon cards.
It gets where you kept your old Tamagotchi or something.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, picking the right humidor to begin with is a really big part of the process. People mess up because they've got 5 or 10 cigars and that's the most they'll ever have.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then they buy some huge, beautiful piece of furniture humidor. And it is a recipe for disaster. It's similar. We always say when you're storing pipe tobacco, you need to keep pipe tobacco in a jar that's close to the size of the amount of tobacco that's in there. So in other words, you don't want a huge jar, a gigantic jar, but then only 1 ounce of pipe tobacco in there. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
It's just too much. You can think about your humidor the same way. If it's a cedar humidor, you know, you can think about that in very much the same way. Your humidor doesn't need to, you know, swallow up your few little amounts of cigars. And it happens for a variety of reasons. Spanish cedar is not actually Spanish or cedar. But it is the type of wood that we use to make premium humidors out of. And it is it's a great wood to age cigars with. It, you know, imparts a special flavor into the cigars, which is very coveted and sought after. And it also handles moisture very well compared to so many different woods. It's just there's a very reason why they use this type of wood, which is actually closer to a mahogany than it is cedar. And you know, like I said, it's not even from Spain. I'm reminded of that time I learned in history class, they were like, you know, the Holy Roman Empire, it wasn't holy, it wasn't Roman, and it wasn't even an empire. Spanish cedar is kind of the same way.
Right.
So selecting the right material for your cigars, number one is size. You want to get one that's going to be closer to the size of cigars that you anticipate keeping. Number two, consider the material. Do you want a high maintenance humidor? Are you going to be okay babying this thing week after week after week for its lifespan? And that's what it's going to take for a cigar humidor. So if you're a person that smokes 3 or 4 cigars a year and you want to keep 10 cigars in that humidor, are you ready and are you going to be committed to checking that thing every 2 weeks for the rest of the time that you own it and use it to make sure it's maintained properly. And so that these are things you need to think about if you're doing that. Maybe a cedar humidor isn't right for you. Maybe you need something lower maintenance that is more like one of the travel humidors that is a kind of a hard plastic material that honestly work great. They work fantastic. They have a really tight seal, keep humidity in there, but they don't look nice on your desk.
They don't look nice on the desk.
You know, you want that beautiful showpiece to look nice on your desk. So if you're going to do it and keep a cedar humidor, put it somewhere where you're going to remember to, you know, like on your desk, make sure that you're maintaining it. And we'll talk about that, shortly.
So all right. So
those are the first two things to think of when you're picking your humidor.
I kind of want to bombard you with questions, but I don't want to throw you off for things that you might already be covering.
That's okay.
But since you're here on the kind of the location of where you're keeping this to kind of keep it top of mind.
Yeah.
So I bought a new one.
Yeah.
It is Spanish cedar, of which I now know it's neither Spanish nor cedar.
Right.
That's education. it's in my office, and I believe if folks want to go to findeversale.com, they can see a video right now of me pitching this new amazing immersive audio drama we're working on. Again, that's findeversale.com. But in that video, if you look over my shoulder, I've got a bookshelf.
Yeah.
On this bookshelf, I've got my pipes, and I've got this humidor, my new humidor, which now has a digital
hydrometer.
Yeah. It's got a digital hydrometer now, which I appreciate because I can read it a lot better because I'm an idiot. Right. So I've got it there, but I have struggled, John David. I have no problem knowing. I knew like this time, like I'm committed. I'm going to keep this thing up. I'm going to put the little drops of water in the thing and then rub the water around the thing or whatever I'm supposed to do, which you're going to tell me.
Walk around it three times and say hocus pocus and it's supposed to work.
But being from more of a pipe tobacco mindset in terms of storing the pipe tobacco,
set it and forget it kind of
that
deal.
All is stored in my cellar, which is underneath my stairs at my house, kind of like this like back cellar kind of area. And I've got all of my, pipes and the ones that aren't on display.
Yeah.
I've got my pipes. I've got my pipe tobacco. It's there. It's kind of like a cool, comfortable, nook where it's all very temperature controlled. This one is in my office in the front of my house. It's a room that gets a lot of sunshine. The space doesn't necessarily get a ton of sunshine or anything like that. It's not like direct sunlight.
Temperatures fluctuate.
It does fluctuate. Am I robbing Peter to Paul, cutting off my hand despite my face?
Unfortunately, yeah. And this is where people struggle, right? Because we're going to get back to picking your humidor in a second. This is the problem. You want a beautiful humidor to sit on your desk.
Right.
Your desk is in the wrong space. And so to do that, your desk is where it should be. Your office is where it should be,
right.
But it's not an ideal location for your humidor.
Right.
And you see this a lot. And so a lot of people in this case will, have two humidors. They'll have the ugly one that is under the bed where you keep all your stuff. And that's where the bulk of your items go.
Right.
And then you'll have the very small petite humidor where you keep four or five cigars. And it's on your desk. It's beautiful. It's, as maintained as it can be. But it's important for you to see it because you love it. And you want it on your desk. And
I
want to see your cigar. You want to be reminded of your cigars. Your cigars are just like your pipes. They hold memories and affections. And, they're markers for significant times in your life. When we had both of our kids, I got a box of cigars.
That's right, yeah.
And my humidor at home is huge. I've got a giant humidor at home, and that's because that holds whole boxes of cigars. And I've got one for our son and one for our daughter, and every year on their birthday, I smoke one of those cigars. But that's what it takes, in order to do that. And so, So anyway, it presents you with the interesting conundrum there. We'll talk about kind of placement and stuff in a minute.
Sorry to derail, but
it's really good.
My problem.
Okay, it is, yeah. And that's okay. We'll figure out a way to get around it. The only other thing you need to think about when you're picking your humidor, we talked about size, we talked about the material, but portability as well. So a lot of folks, they travel with their cigars a lot, or they want to bring their cigars, collections with them if they're going to events or out of town, or if not their whole selection, at least a sizable portion that would be more than just, two or three cigars. And so, so when you're thinking about a humidor, consider that as well. There's some travel humidors. Most of them are going to be made of a hard plastic that's going to protect them in your luggage or something like that. You don't see many wooden travel humidors, but anyway, keep that in mind. So if you do wind up getting a cedar, Spanish cedar humidor, That's really the whole question here is like, how do you maintain that? If you get a plastic humidor, it's like, okay, great. Like, you know, you put your cigars in there. You can put, actually, some people, in order to introduce the cedar aroma to those cigars, they'll take the cedar strips out of a cigar box and put those in there. And so if you go to your local, you know, cigar shop, a lot of them, what we do, we actually have the cedar strips up front by the cash register that people can just take, because what they do is they'll use them as matches. They'll light the cedar and then they'll light their cigar with the cedar.
Huh.
And it kind of infuse that. You see that a lot. But so we just give them out. You can put some of those in your plastic humidor.
Yeah.
The Bovita packs are great because it's this, you know, little packet that it's like a, you know, squishy pouch that slowly emits moisture to get the humidity up to a certain level.
Yeah, our friends at the Briar Shop introduced me to those.
And then once they, you know, once it gets to that level, if it's over humidified, it'll actually suck in moisture. So they really, Bovita packs are awesome. They really are like very almost dummy proof. They're great. But so anyway, if you had a
dumb question real quick. Am I better off putting like two of them in versus one, or is it just like a one and done type deal?
It depends on the size of the humidor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there again, it's an art, not a science. You know, if you have 10 or 15 cigars in a small humidor, one normal sized Bovita pack, not the small ones, not the gigantic ones, because they make ones that are almost as big as your face, but like, but they just a normal size, which is about the size of your hand.
Right.
Then one of those in there should work for theoretically, if it's temperature controlled, several months. So
temperature control.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Well, I had the same problem at my house.
Right, I do. Right,
yeah. So seasoning your humidor, this is again the art of it, it's not a science, yeah. But the bigger your humidor is, the more difficult. Again, the goal is going to be 70 degrees temperature and then 70% humidity. Cedar is very thirsty. It takes a lot of water to season cedar, more than you would anticipate. And so it's important. When you're getting your humidor moisture level up, you're going to need to introduce quite a bit of moisture to it. And it's important during that time to not put your cigars in the humidor. Okay. So basically, if you've got cigars that you're trying to, that you're ready, you're buying the humidor to put these cigars in, as soon as you buy the humidor, don't put your cigars in there. We need to get your humidor up to snuff first before you introduce your cigars.
All right. So I read that. And this is what I did.
And then you didn't do that.
No, I did. I was pretty good about making sure, like, and I'll just tell you what my process was. So understand, this is for the listener. When you hear me describing what I did, that's not the educational process. when you hear John David's voice, that's what you're supposed to do. But for context, this is what I did. So I got in the humidor.
Yeah.
I opened it up and I got some distilled water and I rubbed it in to all of the
kind
sides.
Kind of wiped it down.
Wiped it down on all the sides. And I got a little dish of water and I left the distilled water and I put it in there. I closed it. Didn't put my cigars in.
Yeah.
And I would just watch the hydrometer and I'd watch it every single day. And I was trying to get it in my mind to 75 because I knew that I'd be putting some drier sticks in there.
Yeah.
And so I could never quite get it to 75. It took maybe about a week, maybe a little bit longer.
Yeah, sure.
Finally got it to about 71. Got the cigar. I was super eager though to get like cigars in there. Cause I'm telling you, it's got like a glass, you know.
It's beautiful.
It's a cool
and
look.
You're proud. You're excited to display it.
And so I get it there and I'm watching it. I'm like, okay, all right, we're doing all right. We're doing good. You know, it's maintaining around 70, 71, 70, 69.
Right. 68.
And so as it gets now down to like 65 and like the lower 60s, I'm getting nervous.
Yeah.
And then as it starts winking at like the 50s, now I'm super nervous.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
I don't know what to do if I like, because I feel like I can't do the same process again while the cigars are in there.
Right.
But do I take it out? Do I reset it? Like, you know.
Yeah. So
did I actually do the right thing in the first place?
You actually, I think a lot of people would season their humidor the way you did it, Bo.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're far off really. Yeah. I mean, because your cigars, when you put them in there, are going to be, your cigars are really thirsty. The cedar's really thirsty. Your cigars are really thirsty. They're going to fight back and forth for that humidity. So a lot of people at first will over saturate the cedar with moisture in order to, you know, so it's a little overdone. So once you put the cigars in there, it equalizes. So your goal there was great. The only thing that some people might argue, and you've got people that do both ways, some people will say you're not supposed to wipe down the wood because it could actually warp the wood or introduce too much moisture that might cause mold. But then some of the people that I most respect in our local cigar community, that's what they do. And so I personally don't do that, but you can certainly do that. And people do that. Where I think you nailed it is taking distilled water in a little dish, setting it in your humidor and closing it. And generally, you know, some people say 3 to 5 days. I say like, man, leave it in there at least a week, sometimes 2 weeks. Get that humidor really, 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 you know, well acclimated to that. Now, along the same time as you're doing that, okay, a lot of these humidors come with a hydrometer. But the problem with the hydrometer, either digital or analog, right? Yeah. So either both and, is that they're not accurate. They need in some ways to be calibrated.
Oh.
And so now a lot of them do come and they are accurate, but a lot of them are not. And it's just kind of a crapshoot because it's just they get, you know, it's like anything that needs to be calibrated. After a while, it just, you know, needs the correct tweaking, right?
How would I even know?
Well, you don't. And so that's why you always calibrate it.
Well, I guess how do you calibrate?
How do you calibrate it? And so what I do is that I get a mason jar. If you're a pipe smoker, you'll have tons of mason jars, hopefully. I get a clean mason jar and I put a Bovita pack in the mason jar. The Bovita pack scientifically will keep the humidity at a certain level.
72.
So if you buy a 72% Bovita pack, it's gonna be 72. Or if you buy a 69 Bovita pack, it's gonna be 69. Put that in your mason jar, put the hydrometer in there with it, close the lid, put it in a temperature controlled environment, and leave it there for 2 days. And then when you go check it after 2 days, it will have stabilized perfectly. And you'll know that inside that jar, it's 72% humidity. And so if your hydrometer is saying over or under, you move it to 72.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. Yeah.
And so that's important as well. So a lot of people will do this while they're seasoning their humidor, while they're getting that moisture kind of introduced to their humidor.
Fascinating. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, that's part of it. Now let's talk about the temperature aspects of this. So your humidor, the problem with keeping it in a wild environment with temperature is that the temperature affects the humidity. And also, too, the worst offenders, and I just hate to tell you this, are the humidors that have glass tops. And they're the most beautiful ones.
So
they're the most beautiful one. They are. And so that's another thing to think about when you're, you know, selecting your humidor. It's like, well, where am I going to be keeping
it?
I just
need to get the rubber thing.
And so, okay, if it's a smaller humidor, keep one on your desk, like we talked about, that's going to have your, you know, your small, you know, your, maybe the next cigars you plan to smoke, you keep in that humidor.
Sure, yeah,
you know you're going to be smoking them relatively soon. It's a nice display piece. It reminds you of how much you love your cigars and those, you know, memories that you got acquiring each one of them or whatever it was. But then your bulk, you keep in, you know, a big piece of Tupperware under your bed or something and all tightly sealed up and that kind of thing. So anyway, temperature can change it a lot. And if it's introduced to high temperature, also, if it's introduced to drafts, if it's close to a an air vent or any type of moving, lots and lots of moving air, all that is going to, you know, cause the humidity to be sucked out of the humidor. And so and it's something we all battle. It's something commercial humidors that are the size of rooms battle because that's why it's an art and not a science. There is no one way to say this is how you do it. And it's always done. Every environment is totally different for the individual humidor.
All right.
They're kind of awful.
you may have already mentioned this, but so many of those humidors have like the divider.
Yeah.
What is that for?
It's just to divide your collection.
So it's about dividing the cigars. It's not trying to keep the black thing away from the cigars.
Yeah, the humidifier or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can put it on one side of a divider. What Bo's referencing is the little piece of wood that kind of slides down inside the cigar, the humidor, that you can use to separate things or whatever. Some people will use it and they'll just keep their humidifier on one side and the cigars on the other. But it's really just there to help you kind of organize things.
Okay,
better,
so it doesn't really serve a purpose.
Some people just take those out altogether, you know. So you want to, you know, try if you can. If it's a humidor, you're really, really, really concerned about the maintaining proper humidity. Keep in mind location, you know, closeness to, you know, temperature fluctuations, you know, what the room temperature is going to be in that environment. And then, of course, yeah, humidity level, not just inside the humidor, but outside the humidor as well. You don't want it, you know, you definitely don't want to put it next to, don't put your humidor in your bathroom kind of thing,
yeah,
you know, next
yeah,
to your yeah. shower like yeah. that. You know, there's probably someone out there that keeps their cigars next to their shower, but don't do that. Once your humidor, it has sat for that long with, you know, that little, what I put is a little dish of distilled water inside the humidor, close it, let it sit for a week or two, and then take your now calibrated hydrometer and poke it in there with it and let it sit for an hour or so it can really get a good read of what the humidity is like inside that humidor. And when you do that, hopefully, God willing, your humidor will be kind of where it should be. If it's a really large humidor, it might take two dishes of water. If it's a small humidor, it might not take much at all. And, you know, you can go back and forth on should you actually apply water to the cedar directly. You know, I would encourage you to do your own research on that. I don't do that, but I've got friends that do. If you do, I would definitely advise you to not let any sitting water. You don't want right. any puddles. Yeah. Just make sure it's very lightly dampened, you know. And
like lightly painting a fence.
Yeah. No, that's right. Yeah. And so that's kind of the idea there. And then you should be good to go. They do make seasoning Bovita packs, which is kind of cool. Hmm. The Bovita pack is actually designed to oversaturate the humidor. And so I think they're like 84 or 85% humidity kind of thing. And so you put them in there, and the point of it is to do that. Now, I've never used those, but I'm sure they probably work great. Again, keep in mind, if your humidor is large, you may need two or three of those or yeah. even more, you know. And so do you really want to buy all those just to throw them out a few weeks later? You know, that's up to you. So anyway, that's kind of how you season the humidor. And then you want to, if you can, introduce the cigars at that point and then let them catch up. Your humidor is going to be very finicky. You're going to want to check the humidity on it at least weekly, certainly for the first few months that you own it. So at least weekly, you're going to want to check it and add solution to it or distilled water as it needs more humidity. A lot of folks will use distilled water. A lot of folks will use propylene glycol solution, which we sell. Any you know, tobacconist will sell that. You can buy it on the internet. Propylene glycol is great because how they design the stuff is actually to, almost like the Bovita packs, is to achieve a certain humidity level. And also it's more antifungal, which can help with, you know, if it gets too moist in there, any kind of mold or that type of thing. So I, you know, might encourage you to go towards the propylene glycol, but distilled water works fine too. So as you maintain your humidor, you're going to check it very regularly, certainly for at least once a week for the first few months that you own it, and add solution or distilled water as needed. One thing a lot of folks forget to do, and it's easy to forget to do anything in this because, as we've talked, you can tell it's, you know, not a perfect science. One thing folks need to be reminded of is to rotate your cigars. You want to physically move where the cigars are in your humidor.
Really?
Occasionally.
Huh.
Because inside your humidor, it's not perfectly even. It's not in homeostasis or whatever.
Sure.
Inside your humidor. And so there in your humidor, the hydrometer might read 70, but you might have a pocket that's more wet and a pocket over here that's less wet. Also, there's no air circulating in that humidor. Now, they do actually make devices you can put down in your humidor that every, you know, 30 minutes, it'll put out a little puff of air just to help circulate the still air in your humidor.
Yeah.
But, you know, typically that's not happening inside a humidor. So it's important for you to rotate your cigars.
Interesting.
Also, if the cigar does, for whatever reason, if it's on a side of a humidor where it's a little too moist, that moisture in the cigar sitting up against the same piece of cedar for that long can lead to mold. And so, so you want to rotate your cigars. The other thing, and the reason we worry so much about temperature and that is that temperature can help cause mold, but then it also can lead to the hatching of tobacco beetles.
Yeah.
And that's a real thing. So, and tobacco beetles are in good cigars and they're in bad cigars. Tobacco beetles are all over the place.
Are they in pipe tobacco too? Because I've only ever heard about them in
relation
to cigars.
I have not experienced them in pipe tobacco.
Interesting.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean they aren't there.
Maybe we should do an episode on tobacco beetles.
Yeah, we maybe should. How to eradicate them. Right. But yeah, but tobacco beetles actually are present in a lot of the cigars that you will find on the shelf. The problem is they don't hatch until it gets really warm. And so if it's over 75% or over 75 degrees, you start running into the opportunity that these tobacco beetles are going to hatch inside your humidor.
Wow.
Now, when they hatch, what happens is they actually eat your cigars just like a termite. And you'll find holes inside your cigars literally just like a termite.
That's crazy.
And we laughed earlier.
What if you smoke the eggs?
You do.
You what?
You do. Tobacco beetles are everywhere. I mean, they just keep smoking cigars. Forget that I even mentioned all
it's
this.
It's like a horror story.
Just be sure to keep your temperature under 75.
Wow.
Okay? Very, very important.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I will say, and that, you know, we laughed earlier about the whole refrigerator thing.
Yeah.
There is, if you ever do experience tobacco beetles, the thing that will kill them is the freezer.
Interesting.
And so a lot of folks will, in very slowly, they'll introduce their cigar. They'll put them in the freezer and kill the tobacco beetles and the eggs. And then to slowly bring them back to room temperature, they'll put them inside their refrigerator after that. So I'll just briefly mention that's a way to get rid of tobacco beetles. So that's it. That's really all there is to it. It's a little more complicated.
That's all there is to it.
It's a little more complicated than I wish it was. But cedar humidors are finicky. They really are. They're beautiful. They keep some of our most prized cigars that, again, just like pipes and pipe tobacco, we all collect the ones we like. They're like Pokemon. We want to catch them all. You know, it's like, well, I want to try this cigar. I want to try it in this size and this size and that, you know. And so we buy all these cigars, but then you got to figure out what to do with them. And so cedar humidors can be finicky, but if you're willing to put the time into it and make sure you follow some of these steps that we mentioned today, you'll be happy you did. And your cigar collection will age just literally like a fine wine over time. And if you do that, cigars really will stay great indefinitely.
Man.
So, yeah.
You know who stays great indefinitely?
Missouri Meerschaum.
Our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum. That's right, man.
That is exactly right, man. It's awesome because this year, of course, we've got Thanksgiving in our eyes set now. And so Missouri Meerschaum, some great deals on their website that they're featuring. So be sure to go to corncobpipe.com. We're here at the holidays. You know, you've got that Norman Rockwell picture now, the turkey and all this kind of stuff. Man, make sure to introduce a corncob or a clay pipe from Missouri Meerschaum to the whole setting this year with your family. They've got some great options. And right now they have some great deals on their website running from November 23rd to November 29th. So check it out. You can go to corncobpipe.com, and our friends at Missouri Meerschaum will send all the good stuff right to your front door.
And of course, big thanks to our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum for sponsoring this show.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Question of the week.
Question of the week this week coming in from Father Isaac, who writes in saying, I've been enjoying some of these so-called American English blends lately, which I understand to be primarily Burley based, but with a bit of Latakia added. Right now, I've really been digging on Russ Ouellette's Chestnut blend, a match for the now defunct Walnut of blessed memory. Any other suggestions for a good quote unquote American English blend? Perhaps something tint. Okay, American English.
Yeah, so a lot of times you've probably heard us refer to these as English aromatics. And so we're talking about this idea where you've got an English style mixture or an aromatic mixture, but it introduces Latakia, which has that smoky, savory peatiness to it, which you normally associate with non-flavored tobaccos. And so it's a hybrid blend. We've got these American English blends or American aromatics or English aromatics where it's a tobacco that doesn't fit in the aromatic category and it doesn't fit in the English category. Mm. But if you had to put it in one, it'd probably be the aromatic category. And there's lots of really good ones out there. Father Isaac, I know you specifically asked for 10 tobaccos, but I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't commend to you our own at the Country Squire PS blend, Northwest Trek, and Hunting Creek. These are all three, you know, tobaccos that are aromatic, but feature, and mostly burley based, but feature a really nice helping of Latakia to give it that richness and body that makes those blends so interesting. Others that come in a tin that you might think about, we talked to several episodes about a blend called Distinguished Gentleman from E. Hoffman Company. Great English aromatic, has a really nice helping of Latakia. It actually makes the room smell good too. Edward G. Robinson blend, which is now made by Sutliff. That's a blend that's been on the market for a very long time. East Farthing from Sutliff. Bob's Chocolate Flake from Gaywith and Hogarth. Of course, that's, you know, if you can find it. And then Two Friends, English Chocolate. Great, great tobacco also that we've talked about on the air. It's got a nice baking chocolate kind of flavor to it. But yeah. So check any of those out, man.
That's a good one.
Well, great question. Yeah.
Thanks for that, Father Isaac. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, send it in. That's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire questions.
Ow!
I'm excited for this, man. So
me too.
In preparation for this, I did something kind of interesting with our quick fire questions. Now we've got several from listeners that are kind of spattered around here and there and otherwise.
Yeah.
But like on some of these episodes, I kind of pulled from, oh man, the Harry Potter official sorting hat, like calculus or whatever it is. There's a terminology for that. I'm not a big Harry Potter fan, but
my
oldest is getting into it pretty hardcore. She's like reading the books and everything.
Yeah, it's great.
Enjoy it. My sister's always been a big fan of this. And so, you know, we've been like in like this like Harry Potter mode. It's you know, kind of the October season and October, November season. It's just a good time for it. So I'm pulling from that. Now, granted, these questions are not very Harry Potter-esque, but I want to acknowledge it just in case any readers or rather listeners who were into Harry Potter recognize some of these questions.
Yeah,
that's sure. Where it's coming from. This wasn't going to sort us, by the way. Like I didn't do it with all of them. But if you want to pull from this and then like put it into the calculator in your own time, by all means, let us know what house we would fall into. All right. You ready for this?
Yep.
All right. Quick fire questions. Here we go. What kind of instrument do you most enjoy listening to? Violin, drums, piano, or trumpet?
Piano.
Piano and violin are tough. Like those are the two that immediately comes to mind. I do find that I like to kind of go to a piano covers of songs more often than not.
Yeah.
I will say in kind of a uniqueness, drums at the moment, because my youngest has been learning how to play the drums. And so whenever I hear that she's playing the drums, I'm like, okay, good. That was a good investment getting that drum set.
I would figure that would make it your least favorite one. But anyway,
I know, right? Well, hopefully she'll play it enough so that it comes to that. But at the moment, there you go. What smell do you find irresistible? Crackling log fire, fresh parchment paper, home, or the sea?
I'm going to say the sea or the ocean. Yeah, this one's hard because I like all these things. Crackling log fire, that's hard to beat unless the smoke's blowing right in your face, which always happens to me. But the ocean, this is, I think, why I'm more of a beach person. I love the smell of the salt water. Yeah, I do.
I'm going to say home with a little bit of a caveat here.
My home smells like a dog.
Well, so that's the thing. Like, because some of this, like crackling fire. So when I think of like home, like just not just like my house, but like just the concept of home.
Yeah.
There is a smell attached to it. And it's dog, like crackling fire, baked chicken.
Yeah.
It's those like combination smells. Because that always reminds me of my grandmother's house at Christmas when I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like it has a very distinct smell. And like as I've gotten older and I've smelled something that's taken me back to memory, I've been able to compile those different notes and realize that's...
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, and then finally, which would you rather be? Trusted, liked, imitated, praised, envied, or feared?
Wow.
I know.
Okay, so trusted...
But is that
honest? If I'm really honest with myself, probably liked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So like I wish I wanted to be trusted more than liked, but I probably want to be liked more. That's a very honest answer.
Yeah, that is a very honest answer. Gosh, different things at different stages of life. I think probably praised would probably be
the
thing early on. But I do find in kind of my current phase of life, trusted is more important to me. But praised is kind of the tension there, I think.
I never want to be feared. But some people probably do.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, again, it's trying to like assess what house you're supposed to be in if you want to be in the evil witch's house.
Yeah, I guess I see that. House. Yeah, it's like if you're big into combat or like you're a, you know...
No, that's a leadership
titan
type.
Titan of industry or something.
It is like a leadership type where you want to be able to like, you know...
Yeah.
There's a great scene in the series Black Sails, which is a pirate series. Which, by the way, if you like pirate series, you should definitely check out the pirates. Actually, I don't know. We're probably outside of the window for when that is relevant. Oh, no, we're not. We're still in the window. Go check it out. Support it. Maybe there's still time to make this happen. Go to findeversail.com and support the project. But no, it's Black Sails. And there's a pirate captain and his quartermaster. It's just there's a great scene where they debate whether it's better by your crew to be loved or feared.
Yeah.
And like this one makes this really strong argument about like the risks of both. But if you can be both loved and feared,
yeah,
then you can get people to do anything.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of truth in that.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
All right, man. This is great. If you got some quick fire questions for us, send them in. show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
Listener feedback. Man, we got some listener feedback in from Gerson Fernando de Anito, who wrote in saying, feedback on the Calico Jack episode. Dear Bo and John David, hope you all are doing great. Just passed on to praise the Bo's abilities to tell stories. As a son of a storyteller myself, his mother specifically, I appreciate the art and know how special it is for someone to have this ability. Yeah. Bo is able to take us in the journey with him, and his interpretation of the facts and in the impressions and impersonations make it even more entertaining. Congratulations, Bo. Keep up the good work. Cheers from Brazil. And again, that's from Gerson Fernando. I messed it up. Sorry, Gerson, thank you so much.
I agree, Gerson. I think Bo has great storytelling skills. I really enjoyed our episode recently on Mary Ray.
Yeah, man. That was fun.
Awesome episode.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, Gerson, appreciate that. And hey, if you enjoy storytelling, you want more from me, head over to findeversail.com. Support that project because that... We'll guarantee it for sure. But other than that, man, I think that's going to do it for us today. It's great learning about cigars. I feel educated and ready to go and revive my broken humidor. but we're going to get there.
You will. You may have to rethink your strategy a little bit, but I believe in you.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. I appreciate that, man. I really do appreciate that. And hey, we appreciate all of you tuning in, listening. If you'd like to send us some feedback, show@countrysquireradio.com. But of course, all of our information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. That's what I just said. Twice even. Well, man, let's go up. Man, we need to get some food, and then we need to go to this Las Vegas pipe show.
I know, man. I'm excited. It's time to get over there.
Let's do it. All right, man. Let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
Thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.